Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella welcoming you to the BBS production of TNT Radio, your net radio news source. Hello, folks. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. How could somebody have so much fun in life? I'm up here in northern Utah just having so much fun with snow, wind, and freezing temperatures. Can you believe it? And here I am, an old New Mexico kid, looking for a nice warm fire. Actually, I'm looking for a number of things, one of which is Zany Mystic. Where are you? I tried calling. Don tried calling. We don't get you. So if you want to jump on, if you're around, call 877-876-5227. Usually, folks, what I wanted to do in terms of trying to develop TNT Radio is have a number of people available for reporting. And what it amounts to is finding an interest that the person has and have them do a report on it. Some sort of special news interest reporting. Some people are interested in politics. Some people are interested in sports. Some people are interested in, time zones around the planet. I mean, there's a wide variety of interests, which also means a wide variety of possible newscasting. Aha! Now, what am I about to suggest? What I am suggesting to our listening audience is if you have an interest in getting on the radio, and you have a special news interest, then get in touch with me. You'll find my email address somewhere on the TNT board, or you can write to me at Woodland Star Hotmail.com. That's Woodland Star at Hotmail.com. That's my public email address. If you write to me, I will respond back with my private email. So I guess the message I'm trying to get across to everyone is we are trying to develop TNT Radio. We really could use broadcasters. If you've got a good radio voice and you want to get on the radio, give me a shout. It's very, very easy. And actually, it's a lot of fun. Maybe I ought to get around to the news at some point here, huh? Well, basically, I take the news from the TNT board, which is a trusted news trader. But, of course, every once in a while, there's something that comes up in the news that kind of catches my attention, and it will not be on the TNT board. As an example, I saw one this morning that really caught my eye, literally. Red and green kittens. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Let me explain. This morning, on one of the news shows, and be honest with you, I don't remember which one it was, the news system was showing a film of kittens, and they were white, that had been cloned. Yeah, that's right. These kittens were cloned. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody having said this on the news, let's say, 15, 20 years ago? They would think I was out of my mind, but this does happen. I mean, we have cloned kittens, but they're white. So where does the red and green come from? This is very, very strange. And I'm going to try to present it the way I saw it. Apparently, when cloning occurs, you know, there's a splicing of the DNA. The scientists get in there, they do the slicing and dicing and so on and so forth. You know, that's how you get the creature from the Black Lagoon. But in this case, they actually came up with white kittens. However, isn't there always a however? There's always a however or a but. Apparently, when you focus a light source, a very particular type of light source, on these kittens, what you see is a red glow. Now let me back up for a minute. If you were to take night vision goggles, put them on at night, and you look around, you see everything kind of comes up in green. If these were normal kittens, you know, born the normal way, not through cloning, they would give off a green cast, especially in their eyes. But not these kittens. These little cuties look like they're straight out of hell. You put this light cast on them, and instead of the expected green, excuse me, I gotta clear my throat here. What you get is red. I mean, it was absolutely stunning when they showed it on the television. There was also another thing that I managed to see, and there was a little written part under the video they were showing. Apparently, a virus of some sort, whatever that means, scientifically speaking, they used a specific virus to get this quality. I think this was done on purpose, but I don't know that they knew the outcome in terms of the color. In other words, they wanted this particular strand in the DNA, and it did affect the emanation of color. How does this work? God, I have no idea. But if you really want a full-blown answer to the scientific back of this, call Don Newsom at BBS Radio. He is very skilled at all the DNA splicing that has been going on. He can give you a straight answer. Onward and upward. Okay, what else don't I see very much of on a TNT board? Oh, yeah. How about those exciting Iowa debates? God, you know, if I had trouble sleeping, I wouldn't need to take a sleeping pill. I could just look at reruns of the Iowa debates. Talk about lackluster and boring. Boring, boring, boring. It couldn't have gotten any more if they purposely tried to make it boring, especially the Democratic debate. The Democrats, I don't know, look more like they're having a love fest in a debate. What did I see? Well, there isn't much to see because there isn't much running. Oh, they gave canned answers to, I assume, canned questions. Now, I got to say this about one of the debates. Honestly, I don't remember whether it was the Republican one or the Democratic one. There was a question that all the newscasters kind of poo-pooed and kind of thought, oh, why bother? Why asking that? And, you know, out of all the debates that I have seen so far, it was the most relevant question in my mind, in my opinion. Because up to that particular point in time, all the questions that have been generated to the candidates are, you know, the same old crapola that we've been hearing year after year after year after year. You want to hear more about gay marriage? How about abortion? That's a good one. Yeah, let's do that. Taxes. Let's talk about taxes. You know, folks, I'm not trying to demean the quality of some of the major issues, or major issues as others see them. Yeah, these are important issues, but do you really believe you're going to get a straight answer out of the candidate on such difficult concept as abortion? How are you going to do it? It's a complicated thing. A person's going to be able to rationally answer in 30 to 40 seconds. It ain't going to happen. But there was one question that was asked And why the reporters poo-pooed it, I don't know. I thought it was extremely important. Yeah, I haven't said what it is yet. I'm building up to the moment. The question was, how will you ensure transparency of your office? You know, I don't know whether that went over the top of everyone's head, but that has got to be the most single primary issue facing us, the voters, as we look at the corruption and crap in Washington, D.C. Transparency. How will you, as president, ensure transparency of your office? In other words, what the hell are you doing? Instead of all this, you know, secret crap going on, you know, Dick Cheney style. Wow, I thought it was a very legitimate question. Now, I don't know how a candidate might answer that. I know that years and years ago, Jimmy Carter attempted to actually do something about it. Didn't pull it off very well. Maybe had too much Billy Beer, I don't know. But it, for me, I saw it as one of the most essential questions of this entire election coming up in 2008. You know, folks, there's a word on a TNT board that Mad Dog used called mushrooms. And the reason he uses the word is because we as a public are treated like mushrooms. Yeah. Cover them with shit and keep them in the dark. And that is what all the candidates do. We're treated like mushrooms. So that question on transparency, I think it's a hot issue. I really wish someone would address it more on, you know, public television, national TV, radios, newspapers, whatever. There was another little issue that came up. This wasn't in the debates, but it does pertain to the candidates. This was in the Republican debate. I can't remember where it was, but this was prior to the Iowa debate. You know, the one that CNN hosted. Right after that debate, there was this amazing surge that took place for Huckabee. I mean, and it was a massive surge. This guy comes from nowhere, absolutely nowhere, has hardly 10 cents in his pocket, gets on to the debate, and surges in the polls. How did he do it? Now, I've been listening to the talking heads on television discussing how this occurred, and everybody wants to point out to the evangelical background he has. He's a minister. And no one ever seems to mention what he did on the debate that had absolutely nothing to do with religion. He announced that if he were president, he would do everything he could to abolish the IRS and in its place put what he referred to as a fair tax. Wow. You know, prior to the debates, I had no idea who this man was. And I still have no idea who I'm going to elect, who I'm going to vote for. But boy, he sure got my attention, along with my wife's attention. You know, we heard that and we started immediately discussing it with each other. You know, what would happen? What would be the ramifications? Tossing out, and he literally meant toss out the IRS, fire everybody. Talking about 100,000 employees, not to mention all the people and accountants that do the accounting for, you know, us private people because we can't understand the tax code any better than the IRS can. But he did say this. Now, What is absolutely amazing is it was never mentioned again. I have never heard anybody talk about that again. No reporter ever that I know of, in terms of watching the news, ever could talk to him and said, gee, you know, why don't you explain what you're going to do with the tax codes and so on and so forth? It was never mentioned again. I believe that it was his surge, that the surge to popularity was not stimulated only by his evangelical background amongst Republicans, the far right-wing Republicans, but was also stimulated by this statement he made. Now, I can get really paranoid here. And I keep saying I'm not involved in the conspiracy end of the news and so on and so forth. But, boy, it's got to make you wonder. Why hasn't there been any more on the news? Now, I'm sure if I went to his website and dug it out and so on and so forth, I might be able to find it. But I'm talking about how come it is broadcasted on the news? Could it be that the news systems are trying to suppress that, keeping it quiet? I don't know. I'm just taking potshot guesses here. And why would they? Well, first of all, the news media, whether it's CNN or Fox News or any other news, I don't care whether it's a newspaper, a national news radio show, television, whatever. It's all under corporate control, and whatever comes across the news is decided for the news broadcaster. Yeah, that's right. That's what I just said. It is all canned news, literally. Now, why? You know, I'm thinking in my own mind, why would they want to suppress that in any way they could? Aha! Maybe, just maybe, folks. Silly me. But we're talking about a sizable population of employees in the federal government. 100,000. Not to mention all the lawyers and accountants involved in private services trying to get through people's taxes. What would happen to, H.R. Block? They'd go up in smoke. Literally. Ah, follow the money trail, folks. You know, if you ever have a question as to why, at least in the United States, I don't know about other countries, if you ever have a question about why did this public official do this, or why did that public official do that, or why did this supporter of a particular group of people say this or that, I have a specific person in mind when I just said that, by the way. His initials are Rush Limbaugh. If you ever have a question about why they said what they did, follow the money trail. That's right. You will find at the end of the rainbow a pot of gold surrounded by special interests in Washington, D.C. Onward and upward here, folks. I do have one other bit of news, and I promise I'm going to get to that TNT board, but I really want to get into this because I have so many mixed feelings about the situation. I feel that maybe there are other people out there that have the same mixed feelings I do. It has to do with what happened in Pasadena, California. Mr. Horn. Now, I'm sure you're all aware of Mr. Horn, the 61-year-old man who, he killed two burglary suspects. Now, I'm not going to try to recall all the specifics of the case, but from what I've seen so far and what I've heard discussed, first what happened in Pasadena, California, although he was from Pasadena, wait a minute. Maybe there's a Pasadena, Texas. This actually occurred in Texas. Excuse me, I want to get my notes straight here. The original broadcasting of this put him as in Pasadena, but in fact, He lives and killed those two burglary suspects in Texas. And this is very important that we can get this straight. Because Texas law, unlike most state laws, does support this kind of action. If you feel threatened, you can use deadly force to protect yourself or yourself, your property, or your neighbor's property. Now, it was on behalf of his neighbor's property that this whole incident occurred. Okay, so good old Joe Horn, he calls 911, and he tells them, look, this is what's going on, and I'm going to stop these men. They're leaving my neighbor's house. Now, the dispatcher on 911 tells him to stay inside. However, this guy is really, I mean, he is really upset. And it's obvious, if you listen to the 911 tape, it's obvious he's also extremely frightened. In the end, they wind up, for some reason, going on to his property. He exits his own door, confronts him on his property, tells him to stay where they are. If you don't, I'm going to shoot you. And they didn't, and he shot, and both those burglars went down. Now, how do I feel about it? Well, I got a lot of mixed feelings. But I'll tell you, at the very top of it, I wouldn't mind living next door to him. I'd feel very safe. How much you want to bet that whatever criminal activity was going on in that neighborhood is going to drop? Yeah, you better believe it will. But what about the ethics and morality involved in all this? Even though I wouldn't mind living next door to him because he's obviously a man of action, and he will protect himself and he will protect his neighbors. Was this right? You know, in terms of Texas law, he did nothing wrong. In terms of the law, let's get this straight. This man did what he was supposed to do according to law. He didn't go outside the boundary of the law. He was within the law. When I say mixed emotions, I just don't know, I guess, how I feel about him taking such deadly force. I mean, would it have been simply better to just let them run away? I don't know. I can't really answer the question. Or I guess I can, maybe for myself. I guess I'd have to say that unless they were actually coming towards me, I probably would not have pulled the trigger. I don't think I could do it. Would I advocate the same law in all other states? Absolutely, yes, 100%. Please, anybody with any kind of authority in government within your state, enact this law. Allow people to defend their neighborhoods. Do you have any idea of what's going on in neighborhoods across the United States? People are waiting for Armageddon. Let me tell you, it's here right now. And it happened right here in Utah. Guess what, folks? 2 days ago, right here, some guy shows up at this family home. Now, they don't know who he is or why he was, but he kicks in the door, races up the stairs within the house, busts through the door of their teenager's bedroom, and is ready to pounce on the bed. This guy is out of his gourd, right? However, the father did have a handgun in the house, confronted the individual. He did not shoot him, and held him at bay until the police arrived. Well, I really like what he did. Now, according to the news report, the mother, the wife of the husband there, she said that she believed the situation, even if her husband did not have a handgun, she believed her husband and her son would have been able to get the situation under control without a handgun. And you know what? I suspect she's right. But let's change that situation a little bit. What if the people in that house were the age of Jill and I? We're in our mid-60s. I mean, I don't stand a chance against a zippy 10-year-old without a handgun. I sure would have been in a very difficult position. So am I advocating handguns within the home? Yes, I am. I'm advocating that people do whatever they have to defend themselves and their family and their property. Why? Can't the police do it? No, they can't. Police can't be in everyone's home 24/7. At some point, we have to take responsibility. Problem is, when you take responsibility with the state laws the way they're written, you're more likely to go to jail than a criminal. That's the way it is, unless you live in Texas. Hooray for Texas. Let's get on with the TNT board, and how about jumping north? Yeah, I really like this one. This is from Adeline, and what she's doing is she's talking about the ex-prime minister, nicknamed Lion Brian. Well, his name is Mulroney, and he got into a little bit of trouble, to say the least. He did. The former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney of Canada somehow managed to accept around $225,000. I don't know all the circumstances of why and so on and so forth, but it was the wrong thing to do, and he got caught at it. And if you go to the nationalpost.com /news/Canada/Mulroney/index.html, it'll give you the whole story. The one thing that he doesn't say, and it becomes very obvious, is he says, I really regret accepting it. But I couldn't find one place in there where he said, and I'm going to return it. Nope. That was definitely not there. Again, find that for right now, it was posted at 12:11 p.m. Let's see, 12:11 p.m. today, 12:14. Okay, another one from Adeline. Just as in China, India's sex ratio is even. This one I'm actually going to read to you, folks. This is important. More skewed than in 2001, as Indians from almost all backgrounds continue to abort female fetuses or let infant girls die because they prefer to raise boys, according to a new study. Researchers looked at a representative sample of about 6,500 households in five districts in states already known to have especially skewed sex ratios. Now look, folks, I am not about to try to pronounce the names of these states. There's no way I can do it. I know the first one, Punjab. The sex ratio had dropped in four of the five districts compared to 2001 census data, said researchers for ActionAid, an advocacy and aid organization. In one of the worst examples, they found only 300 girls for every 1,000 boys among upper caste Hindus in urban areas of Punjab's Sahib district. Indian wedding customs mean girls are often seen as a huge cost, partly because of the practice of demanding dowries. Now, that was reported in Reuters. Actually, that was reported today. You know, this is nothing new. I mean, it really is not new, and it's been going on for a long time. And it's not only in India, it's in China, and let me tell you, folks, you will find it throughout the world. You will find this. Sad commentary on humans, huh? There's a lot of sad commentaries on humans. Some good stuff. It really is. But boy, I'll tell you what, as a species, you know, if I was one of those fantastic aliens we keep talking about in outer space looking down on the human species, if I had the wherewithal, the strength, the ability to control what the human species does, I sure as hell would not allow them into outer space. We're not very mature. Sociologically speaking, we're probably at the pre-infant level. You know, we're still in the fetus stage. Technologically, we seem to be pretty good, but that's compared to what? I don't know what. You know, you always hear these reports how grand we are technologically, for instance, in the United States and all our electronics, compared to what? Show me something off-planet so I can make a comparison. I don't know if our, you know, as far as I know, if we were to compare the technological development of planet Earth with the technological development of planet, I don't know, planet XQY, they look like kindergarten children. I don't know. I don't know. They always tout it as, oh, aren't we great, aren't we grand? I certainly do love my cell phone. Please don't take that away from me. I love it. But how advanced are we? I don't know. I know sociologically speaking, we've got the intelligence of cockroaches. Would you like to go for a swim? Ah, come on. How about it? Nudists may soon be enjoying swims at the Newton Wave Pool once again. Once again, I guess they must have got kicked out. Let me read a little further. The city of Surrey has not appealed a court ruling striking down its banning of naked swims by the Surrey Skin Dippers Club. Oh, that's funny. The nudists began renting out the wave pool in 2002 for once a month. Members only naked swim nights. Shortly after, Surrey officials canceled the swims, citing a Parks Department bylaw that proper bathing attire is required in city pools. Since then, club members have been swimming at the Renfrew Pool in Vancouver. Oh, God, you know, folks, you ever wonder why we have so much negative zealots when it comes to the naked body? I mean, we weren't born with clothes. We were not born with clothes. But, geez, I mean, people get really off the wall when it comes to, oh, my God, he or she is naked. Which is really weird when you think about it. A prime example is, which is really worse in terms of the cultural advancement? Showing movies of people hacking each other apart, chopping each other's heads off with, you know, big machetes, blood and gore all over the place, or genitals. Showing pictures of, you know, I don't get it. I just don't get it. We can kill, you can show stuff on television that, I mean, it's beyond gore. Can't show a naked person, though. Uh-uh. Oh, and how silly would they get with the bleeping of words. I mean, it's getting downright foolish. Who sets the standards for this? I mean, is there some, like, little committee somewhere, I don't know, up in a dark cave saying, oh, no, people can't be naked. Oh, no, they can't use this word. They can't use that word. Ah, shit. I don't know how we got to where we are. I don't have a clue, but most of it is pointless. It is really, really pointless. Hey, how about something that does make a point? If you get a chance, take a look at partridge roasting over an open fire. I got to tell you, it is really good. It's on YouTube, and I took a look at it this morning. What is it? It's a darn good presentation of Christmas singing by, I don't know, probably a dozen handsome young men in tuxedos. Super, super video. Now, let me diverge for a second. I'm always diverging, right? I went to Don's going to love this one. I went to take a look at the YouTube, and I couldn't get any sound on it. I mean, I could hear it a little bit, you know, way down in the background. I'm going, what's going on? Something's wrong with the sound. So I gave Don a call and said, Don, how come I can't get sound on this thing? He says, oh, he says, just do this and that. And so we went through and we set the speaker system so that it was up to 100%, so on and so forth. And I thought, okay, cool. Now I'm going to go back in and listen. So I turned it on and still have the same thing. I can't hear a damn thing. So I went to a few different things that I was aware of on the net. Actually, one of the first places I went to was the music on BBS, and I clicked on it, and sure enough, it came through just fine. So I go back to this YouTube system, and I'm thinking, maybe it's something YouTube does? Nope. It's something I wasn't doing. There's... You know, when that YouTube video comes on, the default setting for the sound is at zero. Hell, I didn't know that. I mean, most of the times you can turn on these things, you know, and you'll hear some sound and gradually you'll find your way around the loudness level somewhere. These things are so small, I didn't see it, and it was already down to zero. Well, of course, once I turned that up, it came out just fine. But do take a look. It is really, really good. Why did I take a look? I think I was looking for something besides torturous news. Speaking of torture, how about the damn and the CIA jet? A Florida-based Gulfstream II jet aircraft number N987SA crash landed on September 24, 2007, after it ran out of fuel over Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. I'm saying that word, Yucatan. It had a cargo of several tons of cocaine on board. Now, documents have turned up on both sides of the Atlantic that link this cocaine smuggling Gulfstream II jet aircraft that crashed in New Mexico to none other than your most favorite people, the damn CIA, who used the same plane on at least three rendition flights from Europe and the USA to guess where? Guantanamo's infamous torture chambers between 2003 and 2005. What the hell is the CIA involved in? Do you want to know? I'm not sure I do. I'm just not sure that I do. Check it out on TNT. It's there. There's a lot of things to check out. And the one for people with young children. This is a toughie. Think compulsory vaccination can't happen here? Well, let me tell you, folks, it sure as hell can. And it's getting to a point where you need to really start taking some action on behalf of yourself and your children. New Jersey is now the first state in the union to require flu vaccine for preschoolers, for pertussis and meningitis for sixth graders. compulsory vaccination? That is totally, totally outrageous. Let me read a little more. The first 2,300 poor black kids in Prince George's County, Maryland, a state that does not have a compulsory vaccination law, were vaccinated under, listen to this, folks, under armed guard on the efforts of a state's attorney general, Glenn Ivey, who does not vaccinate his own kids because of the dangers involved. Can you believe this crap? You better believe it, because it's real. They're coming after your kids with those needles. It's going to happen. Think twice about the compulsory vaccination. I think I wrote this. No, I didn't. Hold on. This is from Adeline. My mother's younger sister spent almost a year in an iron lung and then the rest of her life in a wheelchair because of a polio vaccination. My God. Oh, my God. Actually, that is in response to something I did write. Let me get to it as I click on these. Okay, forced vaccinations. Now, strangely enough, talking about vaccinations, it was only yesterday or the day before that Merck, you know Merck, the drug company? I think, matter of fact, they call it Merck & Company. Well, guess what, folks? They had to issue a recall on a childhood vaccine. Yeah, they had to issue a recall. They had some bad crap out there. Now, what do you suppose the parents opposed to mandatory vaccines are thinking? Are they safe? No! No, they're not safe. Vera Schribner, PhD, quote, ever since mass vaccination of infants began, reports of serious brain, cardiovascular, metabolic, and other injuries started filling pages of medical journals. In fact, pertussis vaccine has been used to induce encephalomyelitis, which is characterized by brain swelling and hemorrhaging. Folks, these are not safe. Now, most of the time, in the past at least, parents could refuse the vaccination by signing a waiver. But how the hell does the government have the right to force vaccinations? Talk about invasion of privacy. That's your body, your child's body. If they get away with this, folks, what's the next on the list? The Hitler list, you know. Eugenics. By the way, for Adeline, are you aware, I happen to know this person is in Canada. This past September, the Halton Catholic District School Board in Ontario decided not to ban the administration of the HPV vaccine to its students. And parents were duly concerned over the long-term effects. Well, if they're starting to recall, yeah, you can't recall a vaccine after it's been pumped into a kid's arm. You know, as pushing through the kid's blood, there's no call on that, folks. None at all. The kid goes down. Maybe I'm just getting old, huh? How old am I? I wrote this a while ago, but I thought it was pertinent. Aging is really strange. It's not just a matter of a number turning over each year. What happens is that the world around you either moves away from you or you from it. I'm not sure which it is. I only know the experience is real, and you come to recognize not only your physical challenges, but cultural as well. So what is it like? Well, I think the following episode of my life 2 years ago is a prime example. I call it Confessions of an Old Dude. Okay, folks, I did write this a little while back, but I thought it was pertinent. And the old dude, it is me. I just felt a little bit better about not using the personal pronoun. Let me read you the little story. It's not all that long. This is true, folks. This is me. It was really a hot day, and Mr. Old Dude, that's me, was driving in heavy traffic. Now, he had a long way to go because he was returning a U-Haul trailer to the depot across town. Mr. Old Dude had been living in a very remote and isolated area for nearly a dozen years and had only recently moved to living in a city in northern Utah. Thinking a cool drink would help, he stopped at a gas station, which also sold fast food and so on and so forth. The selection of cool drinks was astounding, to say the least, and he was having a bit of trouble deciding what he wanted to quench his hot, dry throat. Now, there were many interesting flavors to choose from, and he perused every one until he found one that clicked with his intuitive self. He had heard of this flavor and thought he would try it out. Also, the spout of the drink reminded him of those trendy plastic bottles that hiker use on day outing. After purchasing the drink, he returned to his vehicle and deftly, well, as deftly as possible for an old dude, popped open the top of the bottle and took a huge gulp. Interesting, he thought. Boy, these Mormons sure like their drink sweet. He proceeded to drive to the depot, all the while sipping or gulping his drink, and with a continued thought that it was a tad too sweet for his taste. Also, the top was difficult to drink from, and he wondered if there was a special trick to it. After some frustrating dribbling down his chin, he removed the trendy top and drank directly from the opening of the bottle. Now, this was much more satisfactory, but it did not improve the nearly gagging sweetness of the drink. Just as he pulled into the U-Haul depot and parked, he was fishing around for the U-Haul papers and in doing so glanced at the bottle he had placed on the seat beside him. It still had a couple of sips left, and he thought he might finish off the bottle before dealing with the U-Haul paperwork. He casually grasped the bottle and decided to read the label, just to find out what was in the drink that made it so sweet. To his dismay, it came with instructions. The drink with such a pleasant name of Irish Cream turned out to be a bottle of coffee creamer that one would use to flavor coffee. You see, the coffee creamer bottles did not look that much different than the other bottles of soft drinks. But how would he know the difference? He was an old dude from the mountains, now living in a world that was going to require re-education. And even to this day, he ponders, what the hell is my bad? You know, folks, that's a true story. It really happened. You know what? Adeline gives a little postscript here. Let's see what she says. Yeah, but at least you know what an HTML is. Well, yeah, I guess I spent a lot of time doing a lot of catch-up. Oh, you know, I've only got 5 minutes left in this broadcast, but by God, I'm going to get to this one. This is really important. Folks, you've got to understand that what I'm about to tell you is real. This is not make-believe net crap. Doomsday Seed Vault. What is the Doomsday Seed Vault? Look, in order to get totally involved in this, what it amounts to is that there is genetically altered seeds that people have developed, scientists, corporations, and these seeds, originally the idea was that they would produce a better harvest, so on and so forth, but they're hybrid seeds. And in fact, these seeds, you cannot use the seeds from the fruit of that seed to grow more crops. It won't work. But also, some of the genetic manipulation that has gone on with these seeds, the fruit of the seed, and when I say fruit, I'm meaning, you know, it could be vegetable or fruit. Specifically, we're going to get into corn here in a minute. has a chemical basis via the DNA manipulation of these strains? It will affect a male's ability to procreate. Can you believe this? I mean, this is some sick crap going on. Now, if you go into the report, and you should read the whole thing, read the original, read the replies to it. This is real. This is real. In one of the particular cases pointed out, the name Bill Gates jumps out as an individual who, for whatever reason, somewhere up towards the Arctic Circle, has an underground facility of these types of things. Why? Why is it there? Here's a reference. Quote, "What we found interesting, albeit outrageous, was the twist on the biotech spin when it came to the issue of transgenic DNA showing up in wild, conventional, or organic plant varieties. The argument had been such that genetic contamination couldn't happen. The biotech biz condemned detractors as loonies. After all, the official chorus of assurances went, buffer zones would help to eliminate any possibility of gene transfer from modified to unmodified crops." Well, you know what, folks? I'm really going to run out of time here. Let me just say this. They found, especially in Mexico, plenty of evidence which demonstrates that contamination has occurred. That those damn seeds that they developed actually got spread around. Wow. What does it mean? It means our food chain is screwed up. Don't eat corn. Is that what it's coming down to? God, folks, I don't know. I don't know what it comes down to anymore. I'm as lost as everyone else in all this. Hey, thank you for listening. This is TNT Radio. That's a wrap, Don.